Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne, and you are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. You are listening to episode 50, titled Murder on Halloween, the story of Tiffany James. On October 31st, 2015, in Brandon, Florida, a young single mother is taking her two twin daughters, only 7 years old, trick-or-treating. When the family is approached by a man dressed in only a Jason from Friday the 13th mask and carrying a gun. It is October 31st, 2015. It is after 11 p.m. and a young woman has just settled in, gotten her cozy PJs on. She's made some popcorn. She has finished handing out candy to the children. It is Halloween. And after running out of candy, she decides that she's going to sit down, put on a scary movie marathon, and just relax for the rest of the night. As she settles in, she hears a loud pop, and then her door just flings open. Scared out of her mind, she jumps up, runs to the door, and as she looks outside, quickly before she closes the door, she sees a woman laying on the ground and a man dressed in a Jason costume standing above her with a gun pointed down to her face. In a panic, she just slams her door and runs for cover in her own home. Three more shots ring out, and then she hears the tiniest little knock on her door. Cautiously, she approaches the door and decides to open it. And right before her eyes, she sees her 7-year-old neighbor standing on her doorstep covered in blood. She recognizes the little girl because she lives only a few apartments away. She hears another knock, and this time it is the little girl's twin sister at the door. The neighbor takes both of the children, gets them to safety inside of her home, and then she calls 911. Neighbors all throughout the apartment complex had already been calling 911 after they heard the shots. So the police arrived on the scene pretty quickly. 35-year-old Tiffany James was laying on the ground. When police arrived, she had multiple gunshot wounds. Tiffany's 7-year-old twin daughters sat there on this neighbor's couch, completely covered in Tiffany's blood. They had blood covering their entire Halloween costumes, and there was blood all over both of the girls' faces. When officers arrived, their first priority when dealing with the girls was to find a family member that could come and take care of them. These two girls might be the only witnesses that the detectives had, but they were not going to pressure these young girls right now. They were too traumatized. One of the twins was so traumatized that she couldn't even speak. She kept trying to open her mouth to say something to the police, but nothing was coming out. The twins' grandmother arrived to take care of them, and detectives had to figure a way to get the girls out of the apartment. They didn't want them walking past the bloody scene that was right in front of the apartment door. The officers decided the best idea was to cover the girls in blankets, put the blankets over their head, and walk them, guide them past their mother and to their grandmother. The neighborhood is canvassed quickly, and what police find out from multiple neighbors is that they all saw the same thing. They all saw a man dressed like Jason with a mask on. They said that this man was anywhere between 5'7 and 6 foot. They could tell it was a man because of the build. They said this man weighed between 200 and 220 pounds. But that's all they could get out of most of the neighbors, until one neighbor said they did notice a strange car, a silver sedan, that was parked in the neighborhood earlier that night. And they did notice that same sedan leaving the scene very quickly as they watched the man shoot Tiffany and then run. Just run through the entire apartment complex while that car left on its own. Police have no license plate. This apartment complex has no security cameras. So all they have to go on right now is there is a person dressed like Jason and the possibility that this could have been two people who committed this crime. Detectives are going to turn to Tiffany's family members to try and figure out who would have wanted to do this to Tiffany, especially in front of her two young daughters. While detectives are looking for answers, Tiffany is fighting for her life in the hospital. But the doctors said that her wounds were too severe. Tiffany had significant head trauma. She passed away in that hospital room. Tiffany was shot 3 times, twice in the head. Police are able to interview Tiffany's sister, and they find out that Tiffany had 2 men in her life. One was her brand new boyfriend, and one was the father of her twin daughters, Daryl Williams. Tiffany James was born August 18, 1980. Her brother, Darrell Humphrey, says that Tiffany had a hard life. She grew up in Tampa, and she was raised by her aunt in her teenage years. After high school graduation, Tiffany welcomed her first son. Soon after, she had a second baby boy. And soon after that, Tiffany's boyfriend at the time left their brand new small family, and Tiffany became a single mother. Her brother says that Tiffany worked hard at being a mom. It was her greatest achievement. Tiffany had a hard life growing up, and she did not want her children to ever experience that. She adored her children. Tiffany worked hard as a single mom. In 2008, she was working in a medical office, and this is around the same time that she meets a man named Daryl Williams. Daryl was a little older than Tiffany. He was about 14 years older than her. But Daryl also had children from a previous relationship, so this was perfect for Tiffany. Tiffany and Daryl end up getting together and actually getting married pretty quickly. They do end up having their 2 twin girls, and life was great for a little while, but after about 5 years together, the couple decides to end the relationship. Tiffany would actually call her brother and tell him about all of her relationship troubles with Daryl. There were many troubles in their relationship because Daryl was quite the cheater, and he wasn't always the nicest guy. Daryl could be very confrontational and very aggressive. After ending her relationship with Daryl, nothing's gonna stop Tiffany. She is the type of person that wants it all. She is going to reach for the stars. And her goal right now is that she wants to start her own beauty salon. So she actually starts taking classes to become an esthetician and a cosmetologist. She had that reach for the stars mentality. In 2015, Tiffany is going to attend a party, and at this party, she's gonna meet an old friend who she used to have some feelings for. It ends up that the two of them decide to go on a date and find out that they have a lot in common and a lot of romantic feelings. He is also a single dad, and at this point, Tiffany is feeling really excited about her future. As Tiffany's sister told police, Tiffany only had 2 men in her life, the new boyfriend and the ex-boyfriend. So police are going to want to talk to both men. And at 4 a.m., The night of Tiffany's murder, police arrive at her new boyfriend's house. They pull up to his house, and what they see is this new boyfriend just standing in his garage, pacing back and forth. The garage light is on. He has his truck parked in the driveway, and he knew that they were coming there to speak to him. He was standing in his garage, but he also had a gun on him. And he warned the police right away, "Listen, I have a gun. It is in the garage with me. I have this gun because I am trying to protect my family right now." This man is in a state of shock. Police say that they could tell that he was scared, he was stressed, and he was defensive. He didn't feel safe. They said that they immediately knew that this man had nothing to do with Tiffany's murder. He starts to tell them what happened the night Tiffany was murdered. He tells them that they all took their children together trick-or-treating and then retreated to their own homes to go home and change. The plan was for Tiffany to come back to his house and then they would all hang out together. Tiffany never showed up. It wasn't long before Tiffany's family called her new boyfriend and gave him the horrible news. He said that Tiffany had been having so many problems with her ex-boyfriend, Daryl, that even now he was having problems with Daryl. He said that Daryl had actually been following him around. He noticed that Daryl would drive this SUV, and in the SUV, on the rearview mirror, there would be hanging a Jason mask. This SUV followed Tiffany's new boyfriend all over town, all the time. So he was pretty frightened. After hearing the news about Tiffany, he was convinced that Daryl did it and that Daryl was on his way over to his house. So he had been up all night standing in his garage with his gun, protecting his family. The day before Tiffany's murder, the day before Halloween, Daryl and Tiffany were in court to end a custody battle that had been going on for months. This day in court, the judge awarded Tiffany full custody of both girls. He also awarded her child support. Now, police don't have concrete evidence, but they have evidence. So they are going to go find Daryl Williams. On November 1st, police arrive at Daryl's house. He is not there, but the detectives decide to break up into teams and go talk to all of his neighbors. They're going to ask all of the neighbors what kind of cars Daryl usually has in his driveway. Because remember, they are still looking for this silver sedan that the neighbors said they noticed the night of Tiffany's murder. But according to Tiffany's new boyfriend, Daryl drives a black SUV with tinted windows. The police did not find that SUV in the driveway, but they did find a green sedan and a gold sedan. After talking to many of the neighbors, none of them mention a silver sedan. Finally, police are back at Daryl's house and they see that someone has arrived home. It is Daryl's older daughter. So the police go up to the door and they ask if they can speak to her about her father. They tell her that Tiffany has been murdered, and her first reaction is hysterical. She wants to know if her two sisters are okay, because remember, these twins are also her half-sisters, and so she starts crying and she's in shock, and the first thing she says to the detectives is, "If something happened to Tiffany, then my father is your prime suspect. I know what my father is capable of." Daryl's older daughter tells the police that she hasn't seen her father since before Halloween. And this is actually odd because Daryl and his daughter talk almost all day, all the time, always texting. He is always aware of where she is and she always knows where he is. But she hasn't seen him since Halloween. And she tells a story about how her father can be quite aggressive. It is her father's way or no way. Her father is violent, her father is aggressive, and she said that he is so controlling that when Tiffany ended the relationship, he started harassing her and stalking her. She also tells a story about when she was younger, she saw her father pull a gun out and hold it up to her mother's head. Police get more than enough information from Daryl's daughter, and now they are going to head over to the chemical plant that Daryl works at because he could possibly be there right now. Even if he is not there, they are going to want to talk to his employer, to his coworkers, and find out even more about Daryl Williams. And what they find out is that Daryl owed over $100,000 in back child support. His employer said that he did not work on Halloween, and that was pretty odd because, according to his employer, Daryl was a really hard worker who always worked overtime. He had never once told them no when they asked him to work, and when they asked on Halloween, he said that he was not available. His employers found that a little surprising, but what they didn't find surprising was that Daryl could have possibly murdered his ex-girlfriend. They tell stories about how explosive Daryl is, how all of the other employees are scared of him, especially his female bosses. Police put an APB out on all of Daryl's vehicles, and it is very quickly that they get a hit. A neighbor in a Claremel area neighborhood reports that they see Daryl's gold Camry parked in front of someone's home. The police arrive right away and they find out that this home is owned by a woman named Rosalind. This is Derek's new girlfriend. Police walk up to the front door, they knock, Rosalind answers, and they tell her that they are going to need to speak immediately. Rosalind is fine with it. She asks them in, they all sit down in her house, and she tells them that Daryl is a brand new relationship. She hasn't known him for very long. Police want to know, well, where's Daryl? His car wasn't there when they arrived. And Rosalind tells them that Daryl went to get a lawyer. Police never told Daryl that he was a suspect. Nobody knew this. So they find it a little bit odd that Daryl is out getting a lawyer. And it does not take long for that lawyer, Norman Canella, to call detectives and tell them, do not speak to my client anymore. And the detectives are like, okay, cool. Well, we're going to talk to Rosalind. And Rosalind is going to tell a story unlike any of the other stories heard about Daryl. She is going to say that Daryl is lovely. He's not controlling. He has no issues with Tiffany. He was a loving father who just wanted to do the best he could for his children. The police then ask Rosalind, where were you on Halloween? And she says that her and Daryl, they were together all night. In fact, Daryl worked until about 7 o'clock. He showed up at Rosalind's house. They handed out candy and then they sat on the porch and they watched all the trick-or-treaters while they had a beer together. She says that Daryl was exhausted. He just wanted to go to bed. And around 10 o'clock, he went to bed and she ended up leaving the house. She says that she went to go grocery shopping and run some errands at 10 p.m. on Halloween night. She says when she got back, it wasn't until around 1 a.m. and Daryl was still there at 1 a.m. So in her opinion, he had been there all night, just sleeping, while she went grocery shopping at 10 p.m. and came home at 1 a.m. Now we know that she is lying. Police know that she is lying, and they decide, you know what, we're going to have to either prove or disprove her story because none of it makes sense. So it is now 2 days after the murder, and a forensic interviewer is actually going to help interview the twin girls. This is going to be an interview that takes place inside of a kid-friendly environment. It's a really difficult thing to interview these two children because they are still traumatized from what they saw only 2 days prior to this. Police say that the first twin that entered the room and spoke with the therapist was very talkative until the therapist started talking about Halloween night. This poor baby girl, she just choked up, she froze, she couldn't speak, and they had to end the interview there. But when her sister came in, her sister was very talkative. She was able to open up. She was clear about all of the important details. She told the therapist that she did believe that this was her dad that killed her mother that night because she could tell by his body type. She also said her parents fought a lot. Her dad was pretty abusive towards her mother, and something pretty suspicious was said. This little girl said that she found some pictures inside of her dad's apartment one day, and these pictures were pictures of her mother's home and her boyfriend's home. Daryl told his kids that he hired a private investigator to stalk their mother. The last thing detectives want to do is have to put these two children up on the stand to testify against their own father. So they're gonna now go back to Rosalind because they know Rosalind is a lying bitch. So if they subpoena her phone records, they're gonna find out that her cell phone wasn't anywhere near where she said she was on Halloween night. You know where her cell phone was? It was in Tiffany's apartment complex, sitting in her silver sedan. Detectives know that Rosalind didn't kill Tiffany, but Rosalind was there and she was involved. So she's going back to that police station and she's going to get questioned again. Police tell her that this is voluntary and that if she wants to leave, she can. But if you do stay, the detective says to her, "You do not fucking lie to me." They show her all of the evidence that they have, and they show her that they can prove that she was lying. They really, really dig into her, and of course, she gives up. She starts crying. They say that she actually falls from her seat and rolls over to the corner and sits in a ball and cries. But despite all of the dramatics from the wonderful actress Rosalind, she doesn't want to tell them anything, and the detectives are getting a little pissed off at this point, and one of them actually says, "You either give it up or you get the fuck out of my office, Rosalind." And she leaves. She says, "Okay, I'm gonna go," but they don't let her leave in her own car. No, she's gonna have to take the bus home because the cops are gonna keep her car and they're gonna search the hell out of that thing. They don't find anything, but at least Rosalind didn't have a way home. Now the detectives are hot on her trail and they are not letting her off easy. So again, on November 24th, detectives ask her in, and this is her last chance. Once the interview begins, she immediately breaks down. She starts telling the detectives that, "Okay, I did drive Daryl to the apartment complex that night." She said, "He didn't tell me what he's going to be doing there, but I just waited in my car and I played some video games on my phone. I did notice Tiffany pulling up, and Daryl got out of the car pretty quickly when Tiffany pulled up. And when he got out of the car, he put a mask on and pulled out a gun." Rosalind says it's at this point that she panicked and just drove away in fear. When she got home, she says that Daryl was already there and she had no idea how he got back there. Obviously, police feel like she is still lying because witnesses said the car didn't drive off until after the gunshots went off, until after the masked man ran through the apartment complex. As a last-ditch effort, detectives will tell Rosalind that the best chance she is going to get is a limited immunity deal in exchange for her testimony, as long as that testimony is completely honest. If she lies one bit, she's going to jail. She tells them what everyone already knew. She did help. She did know the plan. She did drive him there, and she did witness the murder. But she is scared to death of Daryl, obviously, so she didn't want to tell police the truth to begin with. Police are now going to charge Daryl Williams with first-degree premeditated murder for the murder of Tiffany James. They're going to get him at work. So their game plan is, listen, We're going to go into Daryl's place of employment at the chemical plant, and we're going to all dress up like we work at the chemical plant. So they're all dressed in all this gear, and Daryl arrives at work that day. He doesn't realize that detectives are waiting for him to walk in. Detectives grab him the minute he comes in, and they pull their guns on him, and Daryl is in complete shock. He doesn't resist arrest because he's just more confused about why these men dressed up like construction workers are arresting him. Kind of sucks when someone's wearing a costume to come and get you, right, Daryl? I think it would have been a lot better if these detectives dressed up with a Jason mask on, if they were all Friday the 13th in Daryl's ass. Daryl immediately asks for his lawyer, so they know they're not going to get anything out of him. So the next plan would be to use Rosalind's words against Daryl. Rosalind says she saw him pull the trigger and she saw him shoot Tiffany. So she is going to be the person that testifies against Daryl in exchange for immunity. But prosecutors are not thrilled about the fact that they have to put a known liar on the stand, because that's not going to work out very well in their favor. So what happens is Daryl is offered a plea deal, and he accepts this plea deal, and he is sentenced to 20 years in prison. Needless to say, Tiffany's family is severely disappointed. Daryl never had to say why he did this as a part of his plea deal, but a fellow inmate came forward and told police that Daryl told him in the jail cell that if he can't have Tiffany, nobody can. Daryl Williams is scheduled for release in the year 2035. Rosalind remains a free woman. Halloween can be a fun, freeing, full of joy night where people get to dress up as their favorite scary characters, their favorite movie characters, pop culture icons, celebrate with friends, celebrate with their children. It's something that most people look forward to every year. When you are young, Halloween is supposed to be a night that you can create amazing memories. Tiffany James' family and friends are now just left with the most horrific memories for Halloween. Tiffany's brother says, "Halloween is the worst day of the year." Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Residue. You know that I appreciate you all so much. Residue is created, hosted, written, researched, produced, and edited by Chrissy Champagne. That's me. You can find Residue on Instagram and TikTok at Residue Podcast, and then Facebook at Residue, a true crime podcast. I absolutely loved hanging out with you all this week, and I hope to see you again next week. But until then, stay safe and stay paranoid. Don't forget to stick around and dance to my theme song.